Hey everyone, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 18, and hear Jesus' explanation of the parable of the sower. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what is sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So remember, this is in the section of Matthew where Jesus has begun to face opposition. And so he begins to teach in parables, specifically so that those who really don't want to become his disciples are confused or don't understand what he has to say. It's only then in Matthew that he begins to teach. And this is Jesus' own explanation of the parable of the sower. It's sort of the authoritative interpretation, and it gives us clues as to how to interpret other parables. A few things about this one. I would note that Jesus, or Matthew here, in his telling of this parable, emphasizes not understanding. In other words, it's underlining the responsibility of a response to the word. So, there's four different soils presented here. Who are these soils? I think it's worth noting that even on the first one, one way to translate it is they are hearing, or they continue to hear. All these are people who hear the word of the kingdom. Well, who are people that hear the word of the kingdom regularly? For our current application, I would say the church. All four of these people, all four of these responses to the word of the kingdom are people in church. They're people who hear the word. And so, up front, I think there's a challenge and a warning to us that you can certainly be in church, you can certainly hear the word with regularity, but it doesn't all automatically translate into bearing fruit. So I would suggest that Matthew wants to emphasize these are church attenders that he's talking about, people who regularly listen to the word of God. So let's look at the four groups. First, people who they keep hearing it, but they don't understand it. Here, this is something that's, I think, Matthew wants to say, our responsibility. A way people like to paraphrase this word is they don't stand under it. In other words, they don't give themselves to understand it. They don't want to understand it. We could say it's people who don't take the message of Jesus and make it their own. It's a refusal to really heed what Jesus has to say, to do what the disciples have done. Under duress, or not under duress, but under pressure, doesn't matter. They have decided to be Jesus' disciples, even in the midst of opposition. What Jesus says here is that when we refuse to really stand under his word, we become prey of the evil one. He can come and snatch that away. So it's our responsibility to make the word, the teaching, our own. If we don't, Jesus warns, the evil one can come and snatch it away. Basically, this person does not want to do the word that they hear. The next category is interesting because it says that these are the kind of people that hear it with joy. This is interesting. Maybe it's somebody who seems to have a dramatic and a joyful conversion, or somebody who's glad to hear sermons. They love good sermons on the word of God. They just don't profit by it. I think it's in some ways encouraging that Jesus says this will happen. People will gladly hear the message, but it will not turn into profit in their lives. This should immunize us from thinking that everybody in the church will always bear fruit. It should help us not be too triumphalistic in our understanding of how much of a response we'll get. I think this soil teaches us to pray for internal roots and staying power. It teaches us to recognize that if our roots are not strong, that we're never going to bear fruit, and to recognize that we need roots. Jesus seems to be saying that emotional excitement and joy a certain kind of joy are not a good measure. What's a good measure is staying power and being able to endure when things get tough. The third category are those that thorns choke out. And Jesus says two things. He says, first, the anxiety of the age chokes out the word. And then the other thing he says is the deceitfulness of wealth. But let's look at anxiety of the age. One way we could translate it is what most people worry about, what most people are preoccupied with. One way of understanding this is the craving to master our lives, to think that with the right product, with the right technique, with the right church, with the right circumstances, we can get our lives exactly like we want them. Jesus says, if you do that, that will choke out the word. It will choke out my teaching and keep you from being fruitful. This kind of soil or this kind of person, they stay around. They continue to hear, but they compromise. And as a consequence, they're about as unbelieving as your average pagan, right? They don't really take Jesus' word at face value and commit their lives to seeing it bear fruit in their lives. We might say that in our age, it's being so preoccupied with things like COVID or things like our current political status as a nation, so preoccupied with those things that you don't really pay attention to the Word of God. You don't really make that the chief study and thing that you hold on to in your lives. And Jesus warns that as a consequence, you will not bear fruit. The other side is, he says, look, there's anxiety that depresses us, but on the other side, there's wealth that impresses us. This is maybe more dangerous because it's enticing, it's alluring, it's trickier. This is success as measured by the world. Success is measured by business or sports. God clearly measures success by different standards. If we measure Jesus' ministry and his life and its immediate aftermath, we would not consider it very successful. And so Jesus is teaching us not to measure our success that way. After all, in the Gospel of Luke, he says, what is exalted by men is an abomination to God. Finally, there's the fourth category, and this is the one that does bear fruit. These are those who, they receive the word, they stand under it, they hold on tight to the teaching of Jesus. And Jesus says, the people that do that bear miraculous fruit. A yield of 30 is miraculous. So is 60 and 100. They're beyond any normal yield in agriculture. And the key for them is that they hold on to the teaching of Jesus. They give it their whole heart and their whole attention, believing that Jesus' teaching, his word, has power. They're those who take Jesus seriously when he says, come to me, take my yoke upon you and keep it on you. Learn from me. And I will help you. I will give rest to your soul and you will bear fruit. So to summarize what Jesus is saying, he's saying, I'm going to put it this way a little bit facetiously, only 25% of people in church actually bear fruit. That's a little facetious. But he does say that you can hear the word, you can hear the teaching of Jesus and not receive it. You can receive sermons on the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, and let go of it under pressure. You can receive it, you can kind of hear it, but really your attention is also given to the anxieties of the age or the deceitfulness of success on the world's terms, and as a result, you'll hang around, but you won't bear fruit. Or you can hold on to it, as it were, with both hands. You can hold on to it for dear life. I would suggest one of the best ways to understand the fourth soil, the ones that hold on to it, that receive it and stand under it, is to look at Psalm 1. It describes a person who delights in God's teaching, who delights in the good news of God's way of life, now as presented in Jesus through his teaching and his life, and given grace and power by the Holy Spirit. The last thing I'll mention is those yields, 100, 60, 30. Nothing indicates why some bear 100, why some bear 60, why some bear 30. And I think that suggests that the yields are out of our hands. The amount of fruit that we bear, or maybe the size of the fruit that we bear, is totally out of our hands. But what is in our hands is whether we hold on to it sincerely, faithfully, persistently, even when things get tough, despite distractions that want to come at us, we hold on to the promise of the gospel of Jesus for dear life. Jesus promises those that do that will bear fruit. So may we be in that category of the good soil who hold on to the teaching of Jesus and believe that it is the miraculous power of God to bear a different kind of life. Amen.